Welcome. You're tuned in to The Rest of the Sermon, a podcast where we dive deeper into content, conversation, and application of Sunday's sermon at Westside Church in Poplar Bluff.
If you want more information, you can visit our website at westsidepb.org. If you have any questions you'd like answered on this podcast, you can email them to info@westsidepb.
Most importantly, it's all about Jesus.
All of the stuff.
But then now you can do it, but we can't do it when you're like, and hit it right now, because then everybody gets quiet.
It does, it gets weird.
And then it's like,
we do get weird.
And we're here, and we're back. And then he pretends that we're on a talk show host.
Most of the podcasts that I listen to, I feel like the host or them are almost like, oh, are we rolling? Are we rolling
right
now?
Yeah, it's always funny when they
there's a couple, and then there's the other ones that take it.
We just roll right into it.
Right.
Or it's the flip, and they're like, and by the way, I'm blah, blah, blah with yada, yada, yada. And I'm like, it's weird.
But my favorite, though, is because if we ask that, it's like, I'm probably about to say something I shouldn't. So I just need to check real quick. Are we recording? It's like, yes, we have been for a little bit. And it's like, actually, the Lord.
Right.
I love it.
Not everything needs to be to the world.
Welcome to the rest of the sermon, guys. Mm. This past Sunday was Mother's Day. Shout out to all the women and the mothers in this place.
I love you, Mom.
Haley, Nikki, did you guys have a wonderful Mother's Day?
We did.
Yeah.
We were here. It was great.
It was good. Was it a good day after church and all of that stuff?
Yeah.
It was hot.
We sound like we had the worst Mother's Day ever.
Literally just said a little bit ago, like, it was a great day.
It was a great day.
We had a great time at church. Nikki and I, like, talked to each other in the hallway, and we were like, happy Mother's Day, happy Mother's Day. And they were like, how do you feel about today? And we were like, it's another Sunday. It's another work day.
Sure.
Like, and not to take away from Mother's Day, but it was just one of those things of, like, that moment where you're like, yeah, regardless if this day is, like, celebrating us or whatever, like, you're still on staff. You're still working.
Yeah.
There's still stuff that has to get done. And also, like, it's weird when it's, like, woman to woman. I don't know if, like,
it is.
Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. Well, you're a mother and you're a mother.
Right.
Well, you're doing this. Well, you're doing this.
Women unite.
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
And then there's so many men that come up to you. Happy Mother's Day. And I told my kid coming in, I was like, how many times today am I going to tell a man, thanks, you too. A lot. A lot.
I got one
awkward.
Of those.
Yeah.
Happy
almost
Mother's
just
Day
did
to
it
you. And I'm like, no.
On purpose.
We don't know what
Thank
else
you
to
so
do.
Much.
It's weird.
I deliberately went around to guys like Stu Finnerty and stuff and was like, happy Mother's Day, man.
Just to dudes.
What did Stu say to you? I want to know specifically what Stu said.
He laughed and said, you too.
Yeah. Okay. See?
So,
it's the response.
Yeah, for sure. I love
it's
it.
Fun.
But it was so hot. And sunny and muggy that I was like, this is a mid-June. We're in summer on this Mother's Day.
We went and swam at my mom's house afterward.
Well,
and then we're asleep by 7:45, all three of us passed out in our swim clothes on the bed because we were not used to doing that.
Hey, the sun literally takes the energy out of your bones, I feel like. The sun will zap you of
energy.
And
gives it to the flowers, and that's what
Well, see, you said, and gives it to the flowers.
Kids.
Just kids. Science right now. Westside Church.
My mom and my mother-in-law are trying to revive some plants that I bought for them for Mother's Day that stayed in the greenhouse, the mobile greenhouse that I was driving Sunday.
Okay.
Because it got so hot that when I went to give them to them after church, they were like, kind of said, I'm like, sorry. So much so, my stepdad said, that one's dead. What's wrong with it? I'm like, dang it, I try.
They were so zapped. It's like in the cartoons, you pour water on it and it goes, makes that sound.
So bad.
I love it.
We'll see how green their thumbs are if they can bring them back.
I will say this in regards to weather. I feel like we had one of the longest, most beautiful springs that we've had.
We actually had a spring.
The amount of sunshine that we had this spring, I thought was incredible. Now, the transition from spring to is it summer, is it still spring, that didn't exist because it was like, boom, now it's hot and all that. But I will say, I feel like we got an incredible spring this year, and it is going to be a brutal summer, I feel like. It's that humility.
Yeah.
Humility. We had a guy at the funeral home who would always say that. It's that humility. It's that humility. All right, I got a quick would you rather. Would you rather star in and be the lead of a world record-breaking movie, okay? Or would you rather be the recording artist of a world-renowned hit single? Now, this is a one-off. You're not a career actor. You're not a career actor. You're not a career musician. This is one and done. Which one would you rather be?
I'm doing a movie.
You're doing a movie?
I mean,
I feel like that's you.
Are we doing this for a paycheck? Are we just doing this for... Like, you're going to make a whole lot more money making a movie than you
I don't know, but apparently you can't ask extra questions. You just need to go with your gut answer.
You were not here last week.
Movie or music, Alex?
You weren't here last week, and I played the role of Haley Murphy for you.
The second time ever I've listened to the podcast, because it's weird hearing yourself talk about it.
So weird.
And I listened, and the amount of times that Nikki said, well, Haley's not here.
Yeah, I missed her. Could you tell I was lost, Haley?
I'm stepping in.
You left me with the boys.
I'm going to follow Alex's lead, and I'm definitely doing movie.
Well, I think if I can get more money, movie, but then the flip side of that, Haley.
Movies you can always rewatch, but like, man, there's music we listened to in the 90s. They're still playing.
Well, I'm thinking the Macarena.
Not even the 90s.
Was a one-hit wonder.
Like, there was a moment when I sat Roman down and was like, this is the Beatles. Even now, he's like, Dad, turn it on Let It Be. I want to hear that guitar solo.
Only thing I'll say to that is, like, introducing your son to the Beatles is very different than you had a one-hit wonder. You're not going to introduce your very kids true. to a one-hit wonder song artist.
I don't know. The Macarena.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah, but you're not sitting them down for that. That's like something
I know,
they
we're
just
standing
are...
up doing it. Or the cha-cha slide. But all right, is it movies or is it music? It is, I mean, box office shattering, or it's just this single for 2 years. It's on the top 10. Like, it's just that single.
I'm currently reading the one hit wonder list. And as much as I want to sing because I can't, I'm going to be in a movie.
Yeah. Okay. Movie.
We are all choosing movie in this thing?
That's a first.
Wow.
Yeah. But I mean, the Crash Test Dummies, have you guys ever heard of them?
Haley's I don't think
like,
so.
No. They sing that song. That's all they do through the whole song. It's so
they
stupid.
Hum?
Yes.
Wow.
It's so great.
Okay, but
yeah, there's
what do you mean?
I'll let you listen to it later. It's dumb.
Everyone's going to go YouTube
like,
this now.
Yeah, sorry.
Like,
Kung Fu Fighting was one of them.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
I wish. Okay.
But see, music kind of has that effect. And,
yeah.
And you just drop one line and then everybody kind of... A movie has got to be like Dumb and Dumber status when you say one quote and then somebody quotes it back to you and this, that, and the other.
See? Like way more influential with the movie.
Mine's total vanity, by the way.
Yeah, we know.
For movies, it's longer. So we're talking an hour and a half. Number two, they're gonna know my face. Like,
not just the sound of your voice, they'll be able to recognize you out.
All the above.
But I think Alex was like kind of spot on. The paycheck's gonna be bigger.
This is true.
Because if you're smart with your contract, you can be like, I want a percentage of what it's going to make.
Instead, you just become a producer at the same time and reinvest your... Yeah.
By the way, following up on that, did you guys hear the Taylor Swift stats of what she did in Nashville?
Her Eras tour? I have friends that went.
Three nights. She did it back to back. And she set the stadium record every night.
Yeah.
So the first night, largest attendance ever in the stadium. Second night, she beat the first night. The third night, she beat both nights.
Doesn't surprise me.
She had 70 to 80,000 people every night.
Whether you like her or not, whether you like her music or not.
You know who Taylor Swift is, though.
You know who she is, her business model. Like, she's made bank through smart moves.
One night, the concert got delayed like 4 hours because of lightning and rain. Mm-hmm. And so they weren't leaving the stadium till like 1:30 a.m. or something.
And they stayed.
But her performance in the rain like went viral.
I think apparently that was the first night, Friday night.
Yeah, apparently it was just this incredible. And they show the, like, the, when you're on the ground level, you're just getting dumped buckets on. And they do not care.
No, I had so Poplar Bluff prom was the next day as a hairdresser. So I had a girl who went, her and her mom went to Taylor Swift that Friday night and then drove from Nashville to the salon to get hair done for prom.
Yeah.
And the mom's like, when she originally said that, oh, this person's opening up, the daughter loves it, they were going to be standing for like 6+ hours. She's like, I didn't know if I could do it. She said, Nikki, I did it. I didn't care.
Right.
It was fun for the mom in her 40s. I was like, that's so great. Like, I love they had that
moment. How incredible is it?
In the rain.
But us as human beings, there is something in us. I'm going to go pastor here.
Go for it.
There is something in us to gather
and
experience something. Like that.
I thought you were going to go a step further and say worship.
Oh, well, that's why we're gathering, right? Yeah. I mean, is to express and to do that. But I mean, that's one of the reasons COVID was so brutal, you know, is all of that stuff just ended. Yeah. Wow.
Well, it's just a whole different experience. It's like, okay, so these people are wanting to see her live when they have access to her music 24/7.
And Instagram and TikTok. You can be involved in her life daily.
All of that.
Yep.
And then it's like, no, I want to collectively be there with 80,000 other people
and
standing
pay
in the rain.
Bank.
Yes.
To do it.
For the experience.
Yep. Man.
And to be in the presence.
It's unbelievable. It's kind of like, it's almost strange when you break it down to like a social science level. Like it's kind of wild. So this past Sunday, we took a break from our Pillars of Truth series and we honored the women of Westside, and moms did sort of a one-off, had baby dedications. We had 11 babies dedicated on Sunday. It's incredible. It was also the first Sunday that we had two services, 9 a.m. and 11 a.m., it was incredible. The energy from photo booths to hanging out in the lobby to babies being dedicated. It was what we said in staff is it was an all around great Sunday.
It was just good.
A lot of life, a lot of vitality. But so obviously the topic of conversation via the rest of the sermon is going to be kind of talking about Sunday's sermon out of John 19, Mary, the mother of Jesus, there at the cross, Jesus says to his mom, you know, woman, behold your son, talking about Apostle John, son, behold your mother. Just really cool stuff. There's a lot of stuff going on in that statement. But Nikki, you said we had somebody sort of send in a general question that pertains to this.
Yeah, a general question. So what is the best mother's advice? And if we need to expand to parenting advice or advice for you raising children, what is the best advice you've ever received? Mm. And then the flip side, what's the worst?
What's the worst?
I was like, these are so good. Yeah. So let's start with the good stuff first. What was the best piece of advice you've ever gotten? And I guess we could probably, the question was kind of vague, like either you got from your parents.
Sure.
Or
that'd be really cool if it's like, if the good one's from your folks.
Yeah. Or even as a parent, someone gave you.
I think as a parent, and I was at a conference or something, and the guy and his wife, they spoke collectively from the story of the prodigal son, which is a great text to go to in regards to parenting, right?
Yeah.
And I think the woman said, one of the things that has really affected me is this, that when the prodigal was thinking about coming home, and he's in the pigsty, right? He squandered everything. Life is, it's rock bottom. The first thing that entered his mind were the last words the father said to him. And what they were meaning is this: in moments of rebellion or in moments of conflict, or if somebody is getting ready to split in the relationships, you know, the first thought that they have about coming back is going to be the last thing that you've said to them.
Mm.
And what she meant was like gospel, yeah. right? Like reflecting the love of God. And no matter how bad it was, the prodigal knew I can still come home.
Yeah.
I can, even when it's, I'm not going to live here, I hate you, I'm leaving, it's, I can still come home.
Yeah.
That was a game changer for me because I felt like it was just such a boots on the ground on something like that.
I think that's great.
I think the worst one, what was the worst one? I can't think of like a
statement. The worst.
A statement. I think what is really horrible is when I hear somebody explain the season of life they're in. Mm-hmm. Oh, we're in the toddler phase, or we're in the teenage phase. And there's somebody who's a couple seasons ahead of them, and they say this, oh, well, just wait. Yeah. Well, you know, they're in the not sleeping through the night phase. And it's like, oh, well, you just, and I'm like, man, sorry, your negativity, right? No, I'm not trying to bear your negativity right. as well. So I don't know. I guess those would be my two.
I think those are pretty good.
This is tough for me. I mean,
well, okay.
You're saying my upbringing was so different.
This is tough for me. You know what I mean?
So grandma always had little nuggets.
Okay.
But you can catch more flies with honey than you can vinegar.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, come on.
A little good old saying.
But love it. That,
yeah.
I feel like I would have liked your grandma.
Yeah. I mean,
there's some, yeah.
She was in the kitchen when she said that, I feel like. No, I'm serious.
Dude, like, she can make a mean.
Yeah, she was like cooking Mexican a pie casserole. Or something.
A mean Mexican casserole. That's not what I was expecting.
I wasn't going
there.
I was going pie. Yeah, I love it.
Something with something that you roll out.
Yeah.
She raised too many teenagers.
That's good.
So it was always
that's good.
Big
have
meals.
You gotten any like bad
advice with
bad
Judah?
Advice that you were like, there is no way.
From like mom or grandma?
Well, no.
Just in general.
Yeah,
in
general.
Yeah, just in
people.
General. Just in general.
Yeah, I mean, bad. Man, that's tough. I mean, kind of like what you said, people are always like, well, just wait. Wait till they're a teenager. And you're like, I can't wait.
Yeah. Right.
Like, I want to wait, but I don't, you know what I mean? Like, no. I'm not going to be upset that they're a teenager.
Sure, sure. But,
man, that's, dude, I'm going to have to say pass. That's hard.
It is hard. Yeah.
It is hard. How about you ladies?
We can say pass? Well, like
this is new.
Haley's whole life has just changed like, in this moment.
I didn't think that was an option. I will say, I'm gonna start with the worst and lead into the best.
Okay.
I had so much anxiety when I was pregnant. I was pregnant during COVID. August of 2021 was the highest death rate for women who were pregnant at that time, and that's when I was delivering. I had a lot of people constantly remind me as I was going out into the world, and John and I were trying to keep some semblance of a lifestyle, like, hey, you know, you could kill your baby, right?
How is that helpful?
Dude, that is, you just opened up, like, I haven't even... That was such a thing.
It was traumatizing.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then to like, not like you have normal whatever, but anytime somebody commented on like a post I made about being pregnant and I had HG and it was already rough, someone would DM me and be like, hey, I know people say like pregnancy is great, but I almost died giving birth. Here's my story. This is how terrible it was. And so like the amount of negativity not asked for, not even by people that...
Yeah, because hurt people hurt people.
You know, and like...
Hey guys, we wanted to take a break from the podcast and I wanted to fill you in on this incredible resource. Listen, I know I've got a lot of pastor friends, a lot of church volunteers, maybe you're on staff at a church, and there's a ton of things that when I started working at a church that I didn't know anything about. And when I became pastor at Westside, there was a lot that I didn't know about. And one of those things was church insurance. I'm in a board meeting. Someone says, what's our insurance policy? And I'm like, I have no idea. Listen, I don't care how much you paid for your seminary education. They don't teach you about church insurance. But listen, Westside has found a great resource at First Choice Insurance through our agent, Matt Phillips. First Choice Insurance is locally operated. It is family owned. They have a ton of insurance policies from A to Z. They've insured everything from airplanes, zoos, like legitimately, Matt told me that they've insured a lion before. So listen, if you work at a church, if you're a pastor and you're like, seminary did not teach me about church insurance, I want you to reach out to Matt Phillips at First Choice Insurance. The number is 573-686-2870. Again, that's Matt Phillips at First Choice Insurance, 573-686-2870. Or you can check them out on Facebook. Again, family owned, locally operated, Matt Phillips, First Choice Insurance. Back to the show, guys.
You can tell that, like, they're coming from a place of genuine.
They're just wanting to share it.
You know, like, hey, I'm trying to prepare you. And the amount of fear that I had, the amount of postpartum anxiety I had, because then you start doing research and everything that's on your baby's anything also tells you that they can die from it. Like, hey, this is made from a baby, but on this tag, we're going to tell you, like,
headaches, restlessness, death.
Yes. Yeah.
That's it. And every Google symptom.
And it was just really rough. I felt like a constant, like, failure. I couldn't breastfeed because she couldn't take my milk. Like, there was just, there was so much just, like, and honestly, it was primarily coming from other women.
Can we just pause for a second and recognize, like, that that words matter so much? And what you said, that's so imposing. That is so, like, oh, I see that you're pregnant. I almost died. Whoa. You know what I mean? That's, wow, Haley. That's like, that's unbelievable.
It was just a lot.
Yeah.
And I, but like, I also know that those women were coming from a place of like, hey, I just want you to know, like, this is a possibility.
Sure.
Because there's also this like magical thing where some women just don't talk about it at all.
Yeah.
And then you're in postpartum and post, you know, like depression and anxiety, and you're like, so, man, nobody else feels this. I'm looking on Instagram. We're all just praising God for our babies, and nobody's talking about how they want to kill themselves right now. You know what I mean?
Everybody's like, taking the picture with the number next to the baby and swaddling clothes, and it's perfect.
And it's perfect, and everything is perfect. Wow. And so, like, that world coming from was, like, kind of crazy.
Yeah.
And, like, I just feel like that that's just, like, a pregnant woman goes through that and it's not talked about a lot. And that was like not something I was prepared for. I was prepared for the stretch marks and everything else. Like I wasn't prepared for the amount of like people talking.
Can I
and
ask
touching
a question
you.
Here? And this might be blasphemous.
Okay.
I'm thinking about women in like pioneer days.
Yeah.
Cause people still experience that. And imagine being on a prairie and it's in June. And your husband's off, maybe he'll return, maybe he won't, and you are in a log cabin feeling this and with this baby. Is that worse, or is it worse being at home and you've got this device and you're seeing these fantasy worlds and you're going, I am the only, like, I can't even tell you what I'm thinking. You will, you'll take my child from me. You think I'm psycho. Like, I'm just,
that is a real fear mothers have.
I'm just asking that because, like, I think we sell ourselves short on, on what we're doing to ourselves with mental health and stuff these days. By the way, I'm not saying we have it worse than people on the prairie.
No,
I'm
no,
not saying that. I'm genuinely asking from a woman's perspective, like, man.
I can speak for me. I think ignorance is bliss. Haley doesn't know this, but Haley's pregnancy with Maeve was triggering for me.
Yeah.
Haley's like, what? This is why we don't have... No. No. Oh, not because of anything she did, but it was a mirror of my pregnancy with Cooper.
Sure.
And I had conversations and things being brought up. But when
I've talked about this.
When I had Cooper, they didn't call it HG. Mm. I was told to suck up my morning sickness.
Wow.
And yeah, just get over it. That's things pregnant. So it's sure, knowledge can be power.
Yeah.
But ignorance can be bliss. Yeah, so sure. I don't know the answer to that question.
Yeah. I don't know. I thought that, you know what I mean? Like, goodness, man, those are both brutal, but yeah, they're so different, but also the same at the same time. So anyway, yeah, so what's the positive? What was the good?
The good was that just as many women were rallying around me.
That's cool.
And saying,
it's time to give another shout out to another sponsor of the Rest of the Sermon podcast. This shout out goes to our great friends over at Smart Marketing right here in Poplar Bluff, Missouri. Smart Marketing is a fantastic media company. And when I say media, I mean websites, graphic design, videography, anything that you need, Smart Marketing can do it. You need to head on over to Facebook, just type in Smart Marketing, and you'll see their cool light bulb logo pop up, and you can get a ton of information there. Or you can just give them a call, Smart Marketing at 573-840-0334. Again, that's Smart Marketing right here in Poplar Bluff, 573-840-0334. Back to the show.
Not necessarily like, oh, they're wrong, because yeah, that would be like dismissive, false. Yeah, you know what sure, I mean? But you know, Nikki and Courtney both, hey, it doesn't get easier, but it does get different.
That is my line.
And you think that that sounds like negative, but it's so comforting to know that like, this season is hard, and mm-hmm, it's not hard because I'm failing. Mm-hmm. It's hard because it's legitimately hard. Yeah. Hard. You know like what I mean?
It's hard. It's and the epitome of being a human is birthing another human and keeping it alive.
And we're going to figure it out. And in that time frame, it's going to change.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
then it's going to be hard for a whole different reason. Like, I wanted Maeve to walk so bad so I didn't have to carry her around all the time.
Right. Yeah.
And then now she can run away from me.
Right.
And
yeah, yeah,
you're
yeah,
like, oh,
yeah,
okay, well, this is just as hard, but it's completely
different.
Completely different.
Yeah. That's you know? Really good. Yeah.
That is the advice I give to parents when like people it, are like, and I'm like, it doesn't get better. It gets different.
Different.
Because it does. Whether yep, like you're like Judah, they tell me, oh, wait for the next stage or the negativity yep, of that. I feel like every season of parenting I've been in, and as the person in the room with the oldest kids,
yeah,
every season I'm like, oh, this is the hardest season of parenting ever.
Sure.
And then the next one rolls. Oh, this is the hardest season of parenting yeah, ever. Because it does.
It's
just
it's
a
different.
Thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about you, Nikki? Did you get some good,
I did,
bad?
Yeah.
What
oh,
is
all
it?
The things.
Yeah.
My favorite piece of advice I ever got that I give to my kids, no is a complete sentence.
Mm. That's good. Boundaries, man. That's
and
good.
Even as a parent, when I tell my children no, I do not have to explain my why to you unless I want to.
Sure.
And that creates some friction, but
for
you
sure,
are not my equal.
Yes.
If I explain it,
say
it's
that
because
for the parents in the back.
You are yeah, you are not my equal.
Right.
I am here to guide you. Yeah. And I don't have to offer you any more explanation other than no.
Mm.
Now, as they've gotten older, when they have said, why?
Yeah, because they've changed. Their yeah, capacity to mm-hmm, understand that has changed.
Driving with my kids, that was one of the things. I will, if there is a 15-year-old listening to this podcast and you cannot get in the car with your parents or adults in charge of you without a fight,
right,
come to me. I will let you chauffeur me around. But there is one rule. When I say something, you do it immediately. You do not get to ask why in my car.
Yeah.
And it's that same kind of thing.
Sure.
So no
yeah,
is a complete sentence is probably my favorite thing.
You just reminded me, James Dobson, I read his book, Raising Strong-Willed Boys, when mm-hmm, Courtney was pregnant with Roman. And he said, most parents don't realize that for the first 5 to 6 years of parenting, you have one goal. When you encounter your child's will, you win. Every
yes,
time. That's the goal.
Mm-hmm.
It's as basic and as exhausting as
I
the day
failed,
is long. You know?
Hmm? I said I have failed.
You have time.
Yes, yes, yes.
Strong you, will and I have failed.
But here's the thing. If you start negotiations with a 2-year-old,
yep,
and you do,
yeah,
you do. what is that going to be amplified 100%. With a 12-year-old,
yeah.
a 16-year-old? It's only going to funnel up and out.
I love it. You're not my equal. That's good. What was the bad?
That's just how we did it. You know, like the excusing of, well, we did it this way. Well, we... Great.
Yeah.
Good for you. That is how you parented.
Yep.
Don't speak into, like, I've literally told family members sometimes close to me, well, so and so never had that problem. We did it. Great. That's you and that's them. This is us.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm a big boundary girl.
There's one thing that I would love to beg and plead of the older generation, the 50, 60, 70 year old, about devices and this, that, and the other. Number one, we understand the danger of devices too, guys.
Absolutely.
We're really aware of this. And number two, could you just please admit that you guys never had the power and a device to set in front of your kid and they become zombies? Mm-hmm. You never dealt with that temptation. No. It is unlike anything else humanity has ever seen.
Well, and I think that falls into like the worst advice. Well, back in my day, the way we used to, and I appreciate where you are coming from, but the world you grew up in does not exist. My 23-year-old son is not living in the same world as his 17-year-old sister.
Hey, and by the way, back in the day, y'all had mad emotional unhealth and trauma that ain't nobody talk about. Okay, right?
I'm going to say a super controversial statement, and we may cut it out.
Nah.
But to me, and I'm not an advocate for devices, anything like that, but the premise, the point, the way parents use them is no different than when you say, I have to get stuff done, so you're not allowed back in this house?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep. You can't come back in until the street lights come on.
I was one of those kids.
I'm going to go smoke cigs.
Great. I'm going to go leave your parental like supervision, go do whatever, and come back. It's the same thing.
It's the same thing.
You need a break as a parent.
I like it.
And you need to get something done.
Mm-hmm. I would love to hear that challenged because that's a very good parallel. I've never thought of that before.
I mean, but it's like, it's not about what the kid is doing. It's about what you are desiring as the parent, because you're the one this is what you need to do so I can get my stuff done.
Elmo let me shower.
Yes.
Like Elmo, the last whatever of Sesame Street. Jolie was not a TV kid, still really isn't huge into it. That was the only time I got to shower that day. Right. If I was showering, it was when that was on and she was tuned in.
That's it. That is it. Oh my God.
Mom would lock us out to mop the floor.
I like it. I remember Roman sitting in his bouncer to Bubble Guppies. We get like two episodes, man. That was incredible. That was incredible. I like that question. That's really good. We would love to hear from you guys. What's the best parenting advice or the worst parenting advice that you've gotten? It could be from your parents. It could be from anybody just in general. We would love to hear you guys send that in. And so on Mother's Day, kind of tagging along with this, I thought a lot about Mother's Day, and I'm glad the rest of the sermon exists because I like preaching Mother's Day. I like preaching a special message, but I was very conflicted, and I'm also very burdened over that fact as well, because I kind of talked about Hallmark has kind of jacked Mother's Day, so it's all supposed to be good in this aspect, and Mother's Day is really painful for a lot of people. And so the Hallmark aspect sort of just glosses over everything. But then there's a flip side of it. There is, in the churches, it's primarily kind of like, hey, Proverbs 31, or this is what a godly woman is. Now go do it. Here's your example. And what I said Sunday is, it's gospel-less. Mother's Day has turned into being gospel-less. And how legalistic and burdensome is it to a mom or a woman that's drowning to hold up of what, quote-unquote, you should be with no help or no power on how to be that? Like that is burdensome. And there is, talking with Courtney and watching the West Side Women Ministry flourish, there is even messages that are creeping in to quote-unquote women's ministries.
Oh, yeah.
of curriculum and books that really at its core, it's self-help. It is new age self-help to the core. And it just has a little bit of your fearfully and wonderfully made, like sprinkled
you're
on top of
it. Fearfully and wonderfully made, which is why you're perfect.
100%.
And just enough.
Just enough. And so that led me into saying there are some warped messages of womanhood. And we just walked through some of them. I'm going to read them and then we can go back through of which one stuck out or one that you've had experience with. Here's some warped messages of womanhood that sort of creep in disguised as like Bible, religious, Mother's Day honoring legalism, really. The first one is, I'm enough, which is exactly what you said, right? I'm perfect just the way you are and all of these things. The second one, I don't need anyone. I'm a strong woman. I'm capable. I don't need no man. I don't need no, these girls are out here, you know. The third one, this is just who I am. You're just going to have to deal with it. There's never going to be change. This is just, boom, accept me like I am. And then there's two more. I have to hold it all together. If I don't balance this thing and present whatever I think expectation of a mother and a woman is, then that's failure. And the last one is, I'm too unique. Like this fantasy of, well, humility and obedience and submission isn't the answer for me, because my scenario is, the situation's too unique. Out of those, and obviously primarily Haley and Nikki, you guys are going to speak to this. But like,
Alex, come on, how do you feel about your womanhood with this?
I mean, I would love to hear, Alex, with you being a pastor and being in churches, like what you've seen in this and stuff as well.
Sure.
But like, which one sticks out? Which one are you like, oh yeah, that is a Trojan horse that is marched in constantly and it's a security blanket is what it is.
Just one?
I'm
sitting here and I don't know a single woman who thinks, I know so many women who think they've got to hold it all together. I mean, I know those women.
That's a human experience. I know that.
But I'm unique and that is a woman that is crying out. Like I can see the hurt in all of those.
Mm-hmm.
But the one that's like, I don't need no man, to me, that's, I have been hurt by so many men.
100%.
And so, like,
yeah,
it just, I don't know, my heart hurts.
Because the reality is on page 2 of the Bible, it says you do need someone.
You do. Well, right? That's, and I can hear friends like, I don't need a man to tell me this, that, or the other. And I'm thinking, you've been hurt by them.
Yeah.
You relied on someone that failed you.
Yeah, and not even men.
No.
I don't need anyone is what we...
I don't like hanging out with girls.
No.
I just don't have any girlfriend. And that's the same thing as what we're saying, right? For sure. How about you, Haley?
I think the two that I will just say I personally resonate with, I won't totally speak for other women, I think is the one of... I don't need anyone and I have to hold it all together.
Yeah.
And those two to me go hand in hand because when you are holding it all together, you feel weak if you ask for help from someone.
That's good.
It's not even the fact of like, I don't want them, but if I have to tell them that I need them, then you have power over me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You have power to leave me. You have power to have authority over me in a way that like, and that is 100% world experience and manipulation and things that have just happened that have shaped that for me. But I will never forget, you know, like some primary like triggering words or things that have caused issues in my marriage is if John has told me I'm needy. Because I will just destruct and go, it's not safe to need.
Yeah, sure.
I have to have it all together. And the only way to do that is to not need anyone.
Yeah.
And it's a self-isolation and protection. And it is. It's just a response to worldliness.
Absolutely.
All of these are a response to worldliness. It's not how we've been created. It's not how we've been designed. You can look in Genesis. You can look throughout the Bible.
Yeah.
it's not even just in the beginning. Even the distorted creation still craves for the beginning again and again.
100%.
And is constantly seeking that with failed attempts throughout the Bible.
Yep.
But just the fact that it's like we were designed in community. We came from a plurality.
Yes.
Like we were designed that way. You do need somebody. And also, you know, like, yes, we mirror God, but nobody on this earth is God.
Right. Right.
And the reason you say that you don't need no man is because that man, you tried to make God. Like, let's just be honest.
Yeah.
We have tried to make that husband, that father,
that relationship.
That relationship. Yeah. Even those other women who we are idolizing, we have tried to make them God.
Yeah.
And then when we say we don't need them, it's because they didn't fulfill what we were searching God to fulfill.
Yeah. Jonathan Edwards says that when we idolize, we demonize.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we idolize and we realize that idol can't fulfill our expectations, we demonize. And we see that in politics a lot and just in society in general. Well, like someone gets lifted up for a moment and then they're tore down.
And we love that.
100%.
We will sit there with popcorn and watch it. But I think your earlier question about pioneer versus now.
Yeah.
We have so much access to information and we have all these social medias that are the highlight reel of people's lives.
Yeah.
When everything is in the toilet, you're not typing on a Facebook status, my husband just crushed my soul with the words he used and the tone he took.
Yeah.
You are like, oh, it's my anniversary and he did all that. You're flipping all the good.
What?
That expectation, it's so bizarre.
The irony of it, that social media apps isolate us is crazy to think about in that sense. Alex, I mean, where have you seen kind of the warped, legalistic, you know, kind of Trojan horse of Mother's Day or anything in regards to like a women's ministry or any area in the church that's just gospel-less? Like we forget, oh, the gospel is all we have. It's sufficient. It's all we need, no matter what the situation is, you know?
Yeah. I mean, the one that for me, I feel like that I saw the most is this is just who I am.
Yeah.
There's no changing it. I'm stuck in this prison.
Yeah.
In that mental prison. You know, I can't remember who said it, but it's like, I didn't know what prison or I didn't know what freedom meant until I was in prison.
Hmm.
And it's like, you know what I mean? It's a barrier that I think a lot of women, I mean, I've watched a lot of single women, a lot of women that they go to church, their husband doesn't go to church.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they try to follow Jesus and it's like, there's a barrier.
Yes.
And it ends up becoming, I don't know if you want to call it a speed bump, you want to call it a prison, but
it's
a barrier in their mental thoughts of, I'm never going to be able to change my situation and all that. So I think
that's what's suffering. When I hear that, I hear almost a level and degree of suffering. I think when you're in suffering, it's going to be this way. This is the way I am. And sometimes that this is just who I am is a self-protection.
Yeah.
I'm actually deathly afraid of change because change requires trust. It requires the unknown. It requires loss. It requires all of these things. And so comfort is my idol.
I think they mislead that confidence too, though. You know what I mean? Like it's just like
it's mass.
This is me, mm-hmm. you know.
It's
and
mass.
It's like, right?
Yeah, that's projection. 100% of well, this is who I am, and I need to say that confidently because if I'm honest with you, I'm not happy with who I am.
Yeah, I don't think any woman honestly will say I am enough.
Yeah,
no, ever. I mean that is like an anthem trying to tell yourself
I
mean I guess maybe there's some women who truly believe that, but I think if at home the crowd was away, you're looking at the mirror, you're looking yourself dead in the eye and you say I'm enough, you have tears because you do not believe that and you are trying to convince yourself of that because there's nowhere in this world that you're able to find that. And I think it is hopeful when you hear it in ministry go, I am enough because Jesus made me.
Yep. Yeah.
And then you go, okay, well, if I can say that it came from Jesus and then I am enough. And that's where it gets twisted. It's like, Yes, you're enough because Jesus made you, but only because Jesus is always going to make up what you lack.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right. It's not that he fills it and then suddenly you don't lack anymore. Yeah. It's that you will always lack and he will always fill you.
You don't use it to cover your weaknesses that I'm enough because Jesus made me enough. So I'm hiding my weaknesses. Jesus made you enough, and he says, I work through your weaknesses. Yeah. So your cracks and all of these areas that are blemishes is where the grace shines through. Mm-hmm. But that requires transparency and honesty. I read something in preparation. I read something in preparation that I thought was good. It was written by a woman who said, the longer and longer I'm in community with other women, I realize everybody's waiting on a woman to go first, another woman to go first, meaning everyone's dying. Everyone's weary. Everyone's worn out. And all everyone's waiting on is someone to go, guys, I'm struggling. I blew it. And I just need you to pray for me. I need God's word. I need all of these things. And then it's a domino effect that happens. But it's this presentation of self-sufficiency and stuff like that. That is, and guys, let's be honest. The lie, the first lie that a woman was told was Eve. And it was, you can be like God. Mm-hmm. God is A, holding out on you. You don't need to obey God. Because if you obey God, your joy and obedience can't live together. So natural inclination is obeying and trusting God leads to unhappiness, right? And then the second line was, because he knows that you'll be like him. And so it's, well, then I can be God in that sense. And I think, man, that's I think it's helpful for a conversation because I don't think these areas are talked about enough. And that burden that I had of like good news, man, the gospel, like there is good news in this. And so we looked at Jesus dying on the cross. It's one of the seven statements. And Mary, his mother, is there with another group of women.
Yeah.
And so we said that womanhood and motherhood are not exempt. Mother's Day is not exempt from the basis of our faith, which is this, is that we're all shaped by the cross. Mm-hmm. That's the image. That's who we are. We live daily, die daily by the cross. And so we walked through a number of things. We said that cross-shaped motherhood's close to the cross. Mary is literally beside it. She's at his feet. And we saw that there was also another group of women when the crucifixion was happening who were watching it, but they were far, far away. And so we said the difference with Mary was is that when it got worse, she got closer to the cross. Yeah. The second thing was is that cross-shaped motherhood isn't safe, and that trying to raise a perfect child, trying to obey God's will, the mistake of God's will is the safest place for me to be. Well, Mary was living God's will, and so was Jesus. And he was beaten to death, had his beard pulled out, and was dying. He was suffering. God's will did not exempt Mary or Jesus from suffering. And so we said that following God's will is never safe, but it's good because God's always good. And then the third thing was cross-shaped motherhood finds its identity in the cross. Jesus very strategically doesn't say, and it says, and Jesus saw his mother and said blank. And I said on Sunday, what would you fill in that blank with? And everybody said, mom, mother, you know, but Jesus says woman. And we learned that that's the equivalent of ma'am, like yes, ma'am in today's language. But it's very strategic because at that point, what Jesus is doing is so much bigger than biology. Mary is a follower of Jesus before she's the mother of Jesus. And I think that's a word for every woman and every mom. Before you're the mom of whoever, you're a follower of Jesus. And then the last thing was is that cross-shaped motherhood is motherhood to a spiritual family. And this is the good news. This is for mothers, for women who struggle having kids, infertility, whatever any of that is, that's not your identity.
No.
It You can have the womanly nurturing who God made you to be. Those motherly instincts are given to you because the theology of God's family supersedes the biology of real family in that sense. And so out of just kind of those four inklings of the cross and what it looks like to have a cross-shaped life, which one stuck out for you guys? Which one was one that hit home close for you?
For me, the community around Mary.
Mm, yeah, for sure.
We don't do motherhood alone.
Nope.
We never do motherhood alone. If you're doing motherhood alone, whew.
Right.
I mean, it's hard.
100%.
There's moments of isolation, and yes, there's loneliness in it.
Yeah.
But even in the beginning when Mary was pregnant,
yep.
Like Elizabeth. She was Elizabeth. Yep. Yeah, the babies leapt. Like there was always community. I every year watch The Passion of the Christ, and Mary has always,
I love it. No, it's
good. I sit in my bed and just sob like an idiot.
Right.
But I always do it from the perspective of mother to mother.
Yeah.
Only in the last few years, and I mean like maybe three, have I ever thought of Mary as someone who knew, I mean, she knew, and I know she knew.
Sure.
And I
Mary,
mean.
Mary, did you know?
Yeah. Oh, right. Let's not.
It's your baby boy.
Right. We can't.
She knew.
It is too hot. Yeah. Oh, it is too hot outside to have this debate now.
Yep.
Beautiful song. Answer is yes. Jason ruined that song for so many people.
I just read the Bible.
I know, but.
And the angel said to her.
Yeah.
You know?
The dots don't always connect immediately.
For sure. And knowing and experiencing yes. are two different things.
And with that.
Yes.
Thinking of how Mary as a mom had to go, like even when Jesus was doing his father's work and they lost steam and all of those different things that have happened that, yes, she knew. But she obeyed and she then became a follower of her son. As a parent, you follow your kids. You don't mean to,
sure,
but you put them up on a pedestal and you hero worship your kid, whether it be ball game or whatever they're doing.
Yep.
She did it to the level of something we can't even fathom.
Right, because it was because Jesus is the only one worthy in that. And so it's the appropriateness that she's a follower before mother.
Yeah. Like, and flipping those roles.
Yeah.
But knowing that she had people with her.
Yeah.
Helping support her.
Yeah.
For me is always something where I'm like, okay, you struggling over there, sis? I got you.
Sure.
You may not know I've got you, but I am doing what I can as much as I can.
Yeah.
Because it is a village. It does.
I think the moment for me was in that verse in Matthew. It says that Mary and another group of women watched from far off.
Mm-hmm.
And then John says at some point, during the crucifixion, probably after he was erected and hung for the 6 hours, then she moves in.
Yeah.
And in my mind, I just kept thinking about when she's far off and she hears him and she's just like, I am go. Did she not? She probably didn't even say anything. She probably just took off.
Okay.
You know, like, oh man.
But I think like your kid's hurt and sick.
Right.
And okay, oh, you've got to go to them. Yeah. Like, I thought of immediately, like, Jolie broke her arm. We were in the hospital. We were doing things.
Yeah.
When the doctor wasn't in the room, we were doing other things I was meandering about.
Sure.
Doctor comes in the room. I'm right beside Jolie.
Right, yeah.
Like, and that was the way my brain was processing that.
Just, absolutely.
And it was wild to just flip that.
It was incredible. What about you guys? What stuck out just kind of looking at that scene and thinking about motherhood, cross, all that?
I appreciated that your sermon, like, focused on Mary, but didn't put Mary in this exalted position.
Sure.
I get really, like, she was the perfect mother to the perfect son. No, nowhere does it say that Mary was the perfect
mother. She lost her kid. How was she perfect?
Yeah. But I just mean, like...
yeah.
What's and we funny. Are also not blaming other mothers who lose their kids.
I've lost mine.
What's funny, you know, Haley, in the Christmas narrative, everybody forgets after they go to the temple and it says they had to make a sacrifice. Well, you only made a sacrifice to cover your sins. So Mary made the sacrifice of the doves, which, by the way, was the poor person's sacrifice.
Yeah, because she didn't have no goats, no nothing.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I've always explained it as Mary is an example of our faith. She's not the object of our faith anytime any of that happens. So, yeah, that's good.
Yeah, it was just like, I don't know. I think a lot of times you're told to be like Mary or be like a lot of women in the faith,
yeah, mm-hmm.
which is a great strive,
sure.
But they are trying to be like Jesus, yes. So why would Jesus you then not like them. Like why would yeah. you not go the one above? I'm sure. Not trying to be like Mary. I'm yes. trying to be like Jesus. Not I'm not object. Trying to be like yes. Esther. I'm trying to be like Jesus. I'm not yes. trying to be like Rahab. I'm trying to be like Jesus.
Yes. You don't want
to
be the
and yeah. So it was just super comforting to know that like Mary's identity is not the mother of God,
yeah.
You know, because like I am going to fail as the mother of Maeve.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm going to fail as a follower of Christ for yep. sure.
Yeah.
But I fail as a mother of Maeve by 8 a.m. every day. Sure. You know what I mean? Like
yeah.
constantly. And if that's the only place that I'm getting my worth, and not only my worth from society, but if that defines my worth from God,
yeah,
I'm you're gonna screwed, hold
that.
You're know?
Gonna hold that up before God and go,
be like, "Look,
I deserve your love because I'm a good mother."
And then what if Maeve decides to not follow Jesus, despite yeah. us being in, despite yep. all of that? And then I'm like, God, I have nothing to present to you.
And it's only grace. And it's got to be grace.
I've given up my marriage in that process because I've exalt. You know, I mean, like just.
Whoa.
The implication Preach. Of that, mm-hmm. of just like, I cannot idolize that my title is mom.
Yeah.
Yep.
It has to be disciple first.
That's mm-hmm. it.
And that was just like really like so comforting, such a weight. And then like the reality that was good to hear, but that sucks to hear, is that it's not safe.
Yeah.
You know, like yeah. you want that safety. You yeah. bank on that safety. And you bank on it in an unbiblical way.
Because for a while, that kind of is your job. For like the first six yeah. years is like, don't die.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, literally like that yeah. safety. But then there's that season of, oh, you actually need to know my word is good.
Yeah.
And you need to touch the stove.
Yep.
So I'm going to tell you once and I'm not going to prevent your hand from touching it the second time. Like, wow, you know,
but just also like I've already talked about it. I had postpartum anxiety really bad and like SIDS, guys, like
yeah,
sudden infant death syndrome that they do not have like necessarily yep. an explanation for.
Sure.
I stayed up for the first 6 months of her life and did not sleep because I just watched her.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah. You know what I mean? And to know that like every night I'd pray like God keep her alive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And not because I loved Jesus, but because I wanted my baby. Because
you wanted something yep. from Jesus.
You know? And yeah. so like in that moment, just thinking of like, well, if she died, do I still love Jesus?
Yeah. Courtney one time, and she shared this with you 1,000 yeah. times, the Francis Chan yeah. marriage book. And when Francis Chan's wife asked the question, I realized that at a point in my life, if God gave me the choice to go to leave my family and to go to heaven in all glory with Jesus or stay on earth and watch my kids get married and graduate, that I would have chose stay on earth.
Yeah.
And that's when I realized I was worshiping a false Jesus.
Yeah.
That I actually wanted the comfort of my family more than I wanted Christ. In that sense.
And that's how we get the question, why do bad things happen to good people? Well, and sure. then it's just this false idea that one, we're good people. Amen. And I don't like, but Amen. Also
yeah.
that being with Jesus equals worldly comfort and safety.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it just no. doesn't. You don't see that in the Bible. You don't see that anywhere. That's something that we've decided.
Yep.
And
we've added to the gospel.
And yeah. we desire that so much. Yeah. Like the amount of times that my anxious self has prayed the Lord's Prayer and not from a point of like, this brings me comfort because God says he provides everything I need.
Yep.
And I will go be with him if I am not safe on this world, but because this is just going to make me feel better. Like, and now I've prayed to God and he kind of owes me safety.
You know, when I wrote that line, I had... And I probably could have told it, but I just didn't. But I wrote that because when I was in St. Louis, there was a young boy who was so gifted at soccer. He was so good, natural athlete. Parents loved him. And it was just kind of set, like, going to go to college, going to pursue soccer. This is going to pay for his college. Like, mm-hmm. you know, all the above. And they really liked being his parents.
Yeah.
You know, and listen, praise God. Yeah. Like, that's great. You know what I mean? Practice hours they spent, mm-hmm. how much money they spent. That's awesome. And he felt such a call to ministry. That one Wednesday night when we had this kind of surrender service, a lot of kids surrendered to Jesus for the first time. And then I did a second call. And I said, some of you have already surrendered to Jesus, but you haven't surrendered to Jesus's will for your life, of discipleship, of what he wants for you. And for some of you, it's to serve his church and to go into ministry and to do what someone has done for you. And he came forward and we prayed and we cried and he went home and he told his mom and dad that he didn't want to go play soccer, but he wanted to go to seminary. And that Sunday morning, the following Sunday morning, I was in the pastor's office with two heated parents. I mean, saying I was manipulating their son, that, do you understand what he's going to lose? That's what they said over and over and over. Do you understand what he's going to lose? And, I mean, this pastor was super influential in my life. He defended me, and he even said, like, lose the whole world.
Right.
And lose his soul. Like, you know, and that's what I thought of on the safety and the comfort aspect of it is there are, this is going to be really controversial. There are some ministers that I know that that in their mind, Jesus would never ask them to take a lower paying position. Ever. That would never be in God's will for them. And there's people that I know that Jesus would never ask them to not do blank in that aspect. And we say this over and over again. The goal of following Jesus is Jesus.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it.
I just, there's an audacity to that that is completely self that I don't always comprehend when people are like, why me? Why me? Why not you?
Sure. Yeah.
I know some amazing mamas who've lost their babies.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
Come to church.
Yep.
I know some great mamas who did everything right.
Yeah.
Who have a prodigal son that's out there lost. I can't with that sometimes. Like, my heart just hurts.
I think a lot of that goes back to, this is kind of cyclical, but you have to be living in a fair amount of isolation to think you're the only one.
Yeah.
That's one of the things about community, right? Is when I see Vicky Gann worshiping and raising her hand on Sunday morning, and she's walked through this cancer and that cancer and lost Jackie.
Yeah.
And like, man, it just does. I think that's another reason that I'm finding out why God has us in community.
Yeah.
It's almost like an AA meeting.
It is an AA.
When you go to that, when my brother went to an AA meeting, he thought nobody had lost a business.
Yeah. Mm.
Nobody had tanked a marriage. Nobody had stuck a gun in their mouth. And then it's like, get in freaking line, bro. You're number four.
And it's also unique. It's also now not an excuse.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
You know,
this is just who I am.
Yeah.
Yeah. And right?
I
would say that's 100%. Like, I will sometimes be in leadership, planning it, whatever. You miss the point. We had a great last finale for West Side Women.
Yeah.
It was way less structured. We had a meal.
Yeah.
And then we said, guys, like, talk to us about the season. Like, what was it like for you guys? And the amount of women No one was like, man, we got together. It was perfect every time. Our Bibles look beautiful. The notes were perfect. The coffee ring is like, that is not what happened.
The stock photo.
Yeah, you know.
I always hate the man peeing in the field is what it looks like. But it's one hand up, the guy in the field surrendering.
I like that he's peeing.
Well, I was like, what is
because
that?
Because you don't see the other hand.
Like.
I was just talking about a coffee ring.
Yep.
Where did we get?
Stock photos. I'm sorry.
But
go ahead.
Yeah. And I will never forget Courtney messaged me one time and she was like, the fact that yours has a legit coffee ring on it because you spill coffee everywhere is hilarious.
It's
and
so
I was
holy.
Like, yeah, whatever.
So holy.
But went there and like, we start in a big group. We're all talking about it. Every woman is talking about how like, I planned to go and we were just going to do the Bible study. Instead, I completely broke down, cried.
Yep.
My marriage was in shambles. My kids were in shambles, da, 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 da. And we're sitting there counting this like praise to God, okay?
Yes.
Then we go to the pavilion and we break off even in smaller groups and smaller groups and smaller groups. And it's like nighttime now. You can't really see each other's faces.
Yeah.
Makes it a little easier to like maybe say some of these truth-filled things. But like by the end of it, me and another mom are like having a conversation. We're talking about infertility.
Yeah.
We're talking about how sometimes you work from midnight to six because that's like what you do.
Yeah.
And then this moment of like, hey, like I feel like I died a little bit when I had kids.
Yeah.
And like, did you feel that too?
Yeah, sure.
And just like those are the flipping conversations.
Yes.
That is what
fully
it's
known,
about.
Fully loved.
Yeah.
And had we not had that moment,
yep.
I guarantee me and that other woman would have continued going on for weeks on end,
hey
feeling
girl,
like,
hey. You know,
yeah,
right.
But also feeling like we were the only women doing that. You know what I mean?
Good.
There
yeah.
was a reason that God put us together in that pavilion at nighttime,
no
letting stuff flow
yeah.
and yep. having that time, and then gave us the opportunity to pray together and yep. do that. Come to Westside Women or come to something
yeah.
that offers that same thing for you
yeah.
because that is what it's about. It's not about the Bible study.
Yeah.
Yes, you should study your Bible, but the point is community that leads to discipleship, 100%. Not just community.
Because what the gospel does is the gospel puts a covenant around that conversation that both of you are fully known and fully loved by Jesus
yeah.
in your brokenness.
Yeah.
And you both believe that. And then the act of faith is, am I going to believe that about this person? You know, the corporate prayer that we read on Sunday, I don't think sometimes we comprehend what we're saying.
Literally never. I have to go back and read those a lot.
But that corporate prayer said, God, somehow in our relationships with other people, you are revealed. Like, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Like that. And so that's where that is birthed. And I think just pastoring here over these years and kids and young moms, and we've just been blessed as a church to have that. I think that is vital in motherhood and in womanhood for sure. So is there anything else, guys? Anything? I feel like there's going to be like, people are going to love this. I just feel like, I feel like there's going to be a ton of women out there who are like, preach, put that on repeat. Like, this is real. Because again, it's not gospel-less.
No.
And that's where I was so burdened of, man, a lot of women I know don't want this. Like, you know, Courtney said something to me one time. She said, don't ever say like, we could never do any of this without you. And because what she said was like, what that means is that's still my work.
Yeah.
Like that's my role. Like, and that's just my role and I'm just going to do that. But like you're valuing, and we say, and kids say that and it's from a pure heart, but what she's meaning is like, how about I can't picture my life without you?
Yeah. Well, it's the way the words
are. Well, those are two complete. Like, I couldn't do in my life what I could do if it wasn't for you, or I can't picture my life without you. Like, if you know my wife, that's like, she's going to get down to the core of it. Right. You know what I mean?
I don't want to do this without you.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
100%. It's very
there we like, go. That's yeah. what I
want to
hear.
Yeah. See what I'm saying?
I don't want to do this with
you. I love it.
Because if not, like, John will be like, well, I can't live without you. And I'm like, yeah, yeah, because I have to feed you and I have to, like, do the grocery stuff and da 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 da.
But I don't want to live without you.
And then it's like, oh, cool. So, like, you like me. You like me.
And then...
It's two different
it's
things.
It's very different.
And one feels like a burden and one feels like, yeah. oh, yeah. cool. When yeah. I drop the ball, you still like me.
Again, I think to just end where we began is on Mother's Day, women need the gospel too.
Yeah.
Well, you know?
Yeah.
Like it just, it's for all of us. It's it finds us in our unique roles and in these seasons in our life. But the grace and the glory and the goodness of God found in Jesus Christ is the answer.
Yeah.
And when you look at the cross, I think that's why I'm astonished why the cross isn't preached more on Mother's Day. Why? What is one thing that we just say that like mothers have is a level of sacrifice and patience that is beyond anything the rest of humanity has, and women in general, really. What do you see on the cross?
Yeah,
you see sacrifice
and
you
patience.
See a patience beyond anything.
Yeah.
God's wrath is literally being held back. And so, amen, man. The cross for more mamas.
Yeah.
I'm starting a club.
There you go.
The cross for more mamas. Or you're the leader.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
That won't work.
I do that for sure. Let me know. I might come to a meeting. I might just watch you. I don't know.
I'll but be also, the only one to do it.
I will say, though, it was a nice spin on a normal Mother's Day.
Yeah.
John and I are in the booth and he heard it and he's like, this feels edgy.
John would edgy. Totally say that.
Yeah.
But John's always looking for the edge.
Yeah. I and he was it. Like, That's he good. Was like, it does feel edgy. And I was like, yeah, because it's not just like love your mom. Yeah. You
and,
know
and
what I mean?
And by the way, I read a number of sermons on that very text
yeah.
that said, a mama's love endures to the end. By the way, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Number two, Jesus honored his mother until his last breath. Point number three, do what Jesus did. And it was like...
Die that, on a cross for humanity.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Right? Like that is a Pharisaical approach to the gospel. Jesus is not our example first. He's our savior. If he's your example, he'll crush you. Turn the other cheek.
Well, I was about to say, that's just going to set every mom up to fail because yes. you can't live up to that and you're drowning enough.
Yes.
So,
yes.
hey, be like Jesus, die more. No.
Right. Yes. It's you can live more because Jesus died.
Yes.
Rest in that favor and in that grace.
And also how you know, like, I mean, we talk about like testing a message and testing the gospel,
yeah.
you know, that same message, even though, you know, the women... were in the story. The
yeah.
story was talking about women.
Yes.
But none of the points could have also, like, not been applied to men. You get what I mean? Like,
yeah.
sure.
men should still be close to the cross. Men yeah. should
we
still...
You, yeah.
was I'm not, going fishing.
But
was
I'm
not
just
a
saying,
good look.
Like,
yeah. was not a, Peter was like, oh, you dying? I'm out, bro. I'm gone.
But parenthood and manhood is still
yes.
not safe. You know what
yes.
I mean? And so,
yes.
like... I think that's the part that makes it edgy is it wasn't just this glorification of women,
yeah.
if that makes any
yeah.
sense.
There you go.
But that's what makes it actually the gospel is like, hey, whether you're a man or a woman, this message is still for you.
Yes.
Whether you have biological children or
yep.
not, this message is still
yeah.
for you because it's not about you. It's about the gospel.
Yes.
Yep.
And that's the test of the gospel is does it glorify Jesus?
Yeah.
Right. That's it. So guys, surely there's going to be somebody right in. Comment. We would love any questions that you have, any feedback on this from our listeners. We love to hear from you guys. What do we have coming up, guys? This Sunday is pretty special here at Westside, Pastor Alex.
Yeah. So Sunday, May 21st is going to be a Sabbath Sunday for all of our volunteers at Westside.
Yeah.
So if you serve.
Yeah.
So we're super excited. The board and staff are going to serve all the volunteers at Westside. So yeah, 10 a.m.
We had chimes.
We accidentally had chimes.
DJ it's Khaled gonna be super and Swift got together. Oh,
so, hey, new collab kinda, happening.
Kind of break down a little bit. What is it like? What's a little preview of Sabbath Sunday? What does that look like?
Yeah, so it's going to be, first, it's going to be a celebration of what God's done here locally at Westside. So Amen. It's going to be great to kind of stop and just kind of look back and to see what God's done. So we're going to celebrate past salvations, past baptisms. We'll have stuff for kids.
Yeah.
We're going to have some competitions for families. We're going to have some little bounce house action.
There's some food.
Yeah. There will be food. Like, yep. There'll be all food. Sorts of stuff. So it'll be pretty much, there's always going to be, there's going to be something for everybody.
Yeah. That's everybody. Good, man.
Everybody
and
everybody.
This everybody. Is an event that what we said is just kind of being burdened out of, rather than working for rest, we want to work from it. That's kind of a gospel principle. But like fun, like, you know, you don't want church to constantly just be about this or about that and executing this. This genuinely is to serve the people who serve every Sunday.
Yep.
I mean, so come.
Yep. Be a 10 part a.m. of
it. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And then on May 28th, we do go back to two services, guys. This wasn't a one-time thing. We are now actively in two service mode.
9 a.m., 11 a.m., and we had some questions on our Facebook Live. It will go live at the 11 a.m. service. So 9 a.m. and 11 a.m., exact same service, childcare, coffee, all of the good stuff, guys. All of the good stuff.
Hey, and even if you're coming at the 11, there will still be donuts.
Come on, come on. And then the live stream goes live at the 11.
Yeah.
So, guys, we love you so much. Please respond. Surely there's something in the conversation today that I think is... I love specific topics and real targeted, because I think people experiencing that realize, like, oh my gosh, yeah, I'm okay. And then it just sort of gets the ball rolling. So we would love to hear from you. Shoot us an email at info@westsidepb.org. Shoot us a message on Facebook. And until we meet again, it's all about Jesus.
Peace.